Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
Listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for joining me here on a Wednesday evening. Rhino down there in Studio X. He's checked. He's crossing the T's and dotting the I's and getting us ready for another safe landing in about 53 minutes from now. We are brought to you by the good folks over at Visit Vicksburg, the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau, my hometown. We'll be talking throughout the show about some of the cool things going on in the city of Vicksburg. And if you want to join the show, it's easy to do so. Just hit us up on the C Spire text line, 601-879-4395. We are 53 minutes and some change away from a huge basketball game here in Starkville. As soon as I get off the air, I'll be getting over to the Humphrey Coliseum for a top 15 matchup. Number 4 Alabama, number 13 Mississippi State. A blackout, a sold-out crowd at the Hump, and a chance for Mississippi State to put a signature win on its resume. State's resume is outstanding, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that later in the show, where the Bulldogs currently stand if you were to do some early bracketologies and things of that nature. But you look at the last 4 weeks for Mississippi State. They had a chance against Kentucky to put up a signature win. Close, but no cigar. Not close against Auburn on the road. Never in that game. Not really close against Tennessee. Never in that game. This is kind of you got one more with Alabama down the road. But this is a real opportunity here for Mississippi State. You got an Alabama team that's playing really good basketball, but I don't feel like they're playing their best basketball. And, you know, they had a little bit of some internal drama this past weekend where their star player Mark Sears was benched for the second half, and that led to some questions and, you know, his mom going on social media. And whenever you have a situation like that, I always think one of two things is going to happen. There's never any middle ground, right? You never just get Sears goes out there and has 16 points. Either he's going to have a bad game and it's going to be a problem, or he's going for 35 tonight. Mississippi State would obviously prefer it to be the former to the latter. And State, obviously, situation similar, right? They have a guard who's struggling a little bit with Josh Hubbard. Hubbard's such an interesting case study in how points get acquired in basketball. Because, I mean, he had 14 points on Saturday against South Carolina. But nobody would tell you that he was efficient. He shot the ball poorly. He was able to get some points at the free throw line. And it becomes one thing I always said about football was like yards are yards, right? I don't care if you run or pass. If you get yards, you get yards. Yards lead to touchdowns. Do I really care how you get points? But in basketball, it is different because when your top shooter is 4 of 13, that's 13 possessions, or that's, I guess it's 9 possessions, where the ball doesn't go in the bucket, and the other team can take advantage of that. It's a little different. Hubbard has just struggled, basically, since the first game of SEC play. He was really good against South Carolina in the game at the Hump, but since then has just not been. And State needs him to snap out of this at some point. And I don't, obviously I'm not a coach, I'm not a therapist, I can't coach him up, and I can't talk him up. So I don't know what's going on with Josh Hubbard. I think the biggest concern, the biggest issue simply is State has him playing a lot of point guard, even though he needs to be the one that they're trying to get the ball to. And that's just, he's playing out of position, basically. And same way Cam Matthews is kind of playing out of position when they're asking him to be the facilitator. State just doesn't have a true point guard. They had one, Kanye Clary. It was announced yesterday, Chris Jans on Dog Talk, that he's out for the season. And that's something that we've talked about, and it was coming, and we always knew it was going to happen. But there was always this sort of like, well, he could. And now it's over. He's out. So you don't have to worry about it anymore. So what does State do? You know, can they maybe put Riley Kugel at the point? Maybe they can put, I don't know. I mean, outside of Kugel, you don't really have a guy that can run that position. So you got to let Hubbard do it. You got to let Cam Matthews do it and kind of hope for the best. So what I would say about this game is this. For State to win, they need to do three things. They need Hubbard to play better. They need Cam Matthews to shake off whatever was bothering him at South Carolina, because he played the worst game he's played maybe since he was a freshman. Really bad. Can't play like that again. And then they can't get trapped into playing Alabama's game. They have to play their game. Alabama wants to play fast, get up and down the court, shoot, catch, and shoot threes, make you go at a tempo you're not comfortable playing at. State can't do that. They have to find a way to slow the game down, play the half-court game a little bit, run their offense, let the crowd bother Alabama, and go from there. If they can do those things, they can win this game and get a tremendous boost to their resume, which is, again, it's already good. It's a good resume. You can make it a great resume. You can say, okay, they beat a top five team there. That's a great, great win for Mississippi State, to quote our favorite Rick Stansberry Twitter account. Great win for Mississippi State if you can get it tonight. If they lose, not quite sure why I added another syllable there. Don't know why I went the Brian Kelly Southern Act. Lose. Just lose. If they do that, it's not the end of the world, right? You got another top 25 opponent coming to the hump on Saturday, and you beat them, and you go 1-1 this week, and it's fine. You just continue to move forward. You're 5-4 in conference play, and quite honestly, your schedule, as much as it can get easier in the SEC going forward, it does after this game. Missouri is a tough game, no question. You got to go to Alabama and to Ole Miss, tough games. You got to go play Florida at home, tough game. But trips to Georgia, Oklahoma, those are winnable games for State. You get Arkansas on the road, that's a very winnable game. Texas is at home, that's a winnable game. A&M coming to Starkville will be a tough game. LSU coming to Starkville is a winnable game. It's a game, I would say all these games are winnable for State, I'll say that. But at the same, but there's levels of winnability, if that's a word. You know, what I say is, when I say LSU is a winnable game, and I say that at Alabama is a tough game, State can win at Alabama, and they could lose to LSU at home. But the percentages are quite different there, as you can guess. I hear there are celebrities in the hump tonight. I haven't heard anything about this. I don't know who there would be. So if you're a celebrity in the hump tonight, you know, feel free to come by and say hello. I'll be happy to ask you for a photograph. Hubbard, to me, the fact that State's been able to win any games, I mean, they're 4-3 in conference play. To win despite his struggles has been impressive. And it shows you what this team really could be and what this team's ceiling is. If Hubbard could ever get going, this becomes a team that nobody wants to play. Because they have physicality, they have scores at all different positions, they have length, they have athleticism. They're just missing their superstar being their superstar. If Hubbard could start finding his way forward, this is a team that can very easily win 11, 12 games in the SEC, put themselves in position to be a 3 and maybe even a 2 seed in the NCAA tournament. If they play like they played last weekend, and I feel like last weekend, you know, was it ugly? Absolutely it was. But to win on the road, it requires some ugliness. It's a rare game that you go on the road and you just dominate from start to finish. Very rare. So State can win games like that, but their ceiling is obviously lower if they don't get Hubbard going. So we'll just have to see what he does tonight. I keep waiting. You know, he played against South Carolina. He hit that first three-pointer. I was like, okay, all right, maybe this is going to be, you know, the day. And it ended up not being. And it could happen again tonight. Could come out first play. They set a screen. He comes up and fires. It's good. And you're like, all right, here he's off and running. And then you look up in the second half, and he's, you know, 5-for-14 or something like that. The thing I want to stress, and I've been stressing it a lot on the podcast, and I'll stress it again here, is that I believe it will happen. This is not a situation where there's a guy in a slump, and I'm like, gosh, I don't know if he's ever going to come out of it. You know, I know Josh Hubbard from a work ethic standpoint is not slacking off. This isn't a situation where he's, you know, playing poorly and he's letting it affect him, you know, on the practice court. I don't think that's the case at all. Probably nobody. They say nobody works harder than, and they say it about everybody, but at least Josh Hubbard, to my knowledge, in terms of college basketball players, would be in the discussion of nobody works harder than. Ball is life to Josh Hubbard. So I know that he's been working hard trying to get there, but now you got to see those results. We'll see if he can get them tonight. If he gets them tonight, it's going to put Mississippi State in a position where they can win a huge basketball game against a team that Chris Jans has had zero success against. 0-5. Lost every regular season game and then lost in the SEC tournament his first year. And some bad losses in there, too. Some 20, 30-point losses to this team. Had a couple of close losses as well. So we'll see what happens tonight at the Hump. Blackout, sellout crowd. A lot of excitement for this one. We'll see if the Bulldogs can play at a level that keep that excitement going past the first media timeout. Got to get off to a good start against this Alabama team. I want to talk more basketball when we come back, and we'll talk about where State sits in the net, some bracketology, things like that. We'll do that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
No.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
You called down the thunder, well, now you've got it.
Takes a part of me.
Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for joining me here on a Wednesday evening. You know, it's today is the bicentennial. You see the logo? I'm sorry, wrong. I pointed the wrong way. It's right there. For the great city of Vicksburg. So that would be 1825 to 2025. Happy birthday to the home of my birth, the city of Vicksburg. They've got a great, Rhino, this is an event you and I would like, I think. It's called Let Us Eat Cake.
There we go.
That's going to be this Saturday, 7 to 10 at Oak Hall, 2909 Drummond Street. I used to live on Drummond Street. A beautiful table setting, after hours event where we will feast on a variety of desserts and champagne and enjoy a tour of a historic mansion. For more information, visit www.eventbrite.com. I mean, I'm in, right? Champagne, dessert, history. What am I not supposed to like there? Let's talk some metrics. Let's talk about the Mississippi State, you know, because I've been saying this for a while, the past couple days, that there's like this disconnect between State fans and their opinion of this team. I mean, I can't tell you how many people tweeted at me and texted me during the South Carolina game, this team sucks. Like, they're not any good. And then you look at the metrics, and you're like, hold on, this team is squarely, firmly locked into the NCAA tournament and has a chance to be a really high seed if they just win more games. They can play like they played against South Carolina. As long as they're on the right side of that ledger, nobody's going to care. So State currently, and this is the most recent one, 22nd in the net. They actually just dropped behind Ole Miss. Ole Miss moved ahead of them yesterday. I don't know why. I assume it has something to do, you know, it's net is a, it's like a river. It is constantly flowing. It is, this game affects this and this game, and it just depends on who played who and why. State 22nd in the net. They're playing the number 14, I'm sorry, Alabama's dropped. They're number 7, the number 7 team today. And then on this weekend, they'll play the number 26 team, Missouri. Both of those are quad one games. So if you give, just going 1-1 would be great for Mississippi State. And the thing about Alabama is if you beat them, that's going to be quad one the whole way. They're not going to be a they're not going to drop out of the top 30, I don't think. Missouri might. They're, like I said, they're at 26. So they that could end up being a quad two game, but nobody cares, right? If you get a, if it's a conference win too on top of that. So State's in a really good spot for a for as far as their net goes right now. And then you look ahead the rest of the way, I mean, at Ole Miss will be a quad one game. At Alabama, obviously, will be a quad one game. Georgia's 35th in the net. You play there on the 8th. That's a quad one game. LSU at home, I believe, is a quad two game. Oklahoma's going to be a quad one game. Arkansas might have finally dropped down. Well, no, they're 56th. So, that means I think all of state's remaining road games are quad one. They have some real opportunities to boost that resume. Winning games that you, I mean, if I said right now state's playing Georgia in basketball, you'd think, well, state can win that game. That could be a quad one win. That's a huge boost for your resume. So that's the beauty of the SEC this year, that so many of these teams are playing at such a high level that every game is a resume booster for you. Joey Brackets, Joe Lunardi, we all know him, we all love him. He's the first guy we're looking at this time of year. This is his most recent bracket from updated yesterday, 10 a.m. So, you know, last night's results are not in there. Mississippi State as a 4 seed in the East Regional playing Akron. So that's the Joe Moorhead Bowl, basically, in basketball. State would be matched up with the 5-12, which is Michigan and Yale. The 1 seed in that would be, they would be in Seattle, according to this as well. State would be matched up with the 1 seed Duke and the 2 seed Florida. Who's the 3 in this region? Michigan State is the 3 seed. That's a pretty tough regional, but that just shows you where State is. That they're the 4 seed in that regional. So again, it goes back to what I was just saying. A lot of people are down on this team because they have been struggling, but they've been struggling but winning. They struggled against Ole Miss, and they had a double-digit lead. They blew it. Ole Miss gets the lead in overtime, but State finds a way. They get the win. They had a double-digit lead against South Carolina. They blew it. They go into overtime, but they get the win. The only thing that matters is the wins. If State goes out there tonight against Alabama and plays a rock fight game and wins ugly, it doesn't matter. They won the game. When Herm Edwards talks about you play to win the game, he's being truthful on that one. State just needs to win this game. They need to win. They need to go 1-1 this week. 1-1 keeps them locked in where they've been from the beginning. You know, going back with this team. When they won at SMU and got that true road win, and that's another quad one win for State, I believe. As far as I know, SMU is still in the Southern. Why are they not showing up? As far as I know, it doesn't matter. That's still a quad one win for State. That was the first time we were like, all right, their resume is going to be good. Then they went at Memphis, and you're like, okay, their resume is going to be really good. They went at Vanderbilt. And at the time, you were like, you weren't sure about that. I know there's some people on the C Spire text line saying it's just Vanderbilt. Look at that win now. The last two weekends, Vanderbilt has beaten Kentucky and Tennessee at home. That's a great win for Mississippi State. It should be caught quad one the whole way. So State's playing at a conference that allows them so many opportunities to boost their resume. You know, you think back a few years back, and the SEC would have been in a place where you had some real stinker losses. I remember State playing South Carolina, Jans's first year, and it was just like, just playing this game is going to hurt State's net. And if they lose it, it might knock them out of the tournament. There's no games like that. Even South Carolina this year is good enough. And I know they don't have any wins, but they're good enough. They're 92. That means if you go on the road there and get a win, it's quad two for a team that's 0-6 in conference play. But they had Vanderbilt on the ropes. They had State on the ropes a little bit. They had They had Auburn on the ropes, and they had Florida on the ropes. They could easily have 4 wins. They're a decent team. They just can't find their way through. So we'll see. State going 1-1 this week is perfect. State going 2-0 this week makes them locked in. Now we're talking about 3 seed. Now we're moving up a seed line. And then if they go 0-2 this week, they probably move down a seed line to a 5, maybe a 6. If this team finishes 9-9 in conference play, they're likely to be a 4 or 5 seed. 10, 11 wins, now we're talking about a 3 seed. And if they can somehow get 12 wins, they'll probably be a a two seed. I don't think they can get to a one unless they really start pulling off. They probably couldn't lose, but maybe one more game. That's not going to happen. And I think, I'll be honest with you, two seems, I mean, they're 4-3. To get to a two, they would have to go 8-3 the rest of the way. That would be tough, especially when you have two against Alabama. You still have to play Florida. You still have to go to Ole Miss. You still have to play Texas A&M. So you see what I'm saying? If they were to go 8-3 on that schedule, then it would be really tough. That would be outstanding. No one likes Joey Brackets. No one likes Joey Brackets, really? I needed to put the sarcastics on there. We need a sarcastic graphic. Whenever I can just put them up there. I make a statement and then boom, sarcastics right there on the screen. Yeah, Joey Brackets is, I give him credit. He was the first, and he got the thing going. There are better analytics out there now. There's no question. But at the same time, it's kind of a catch 22, right? He's accurate, but by the time you get to the tournament, it's easier to be accurate. Like, at most, there's one or two teams that you can miss on. It's just not a lot. So, see how it goes. So, State's in a great spot. They just need to just need to keep winning games. 9-9, and you're a 5 seed. I mean, think about a few years ago. Think about, you know, Howland's first year in 2014, going 9-9 in the conference. You're headed straight to the NIT, straight to it. Now 9-9, you're going to be a 5 seed. State and Ole Miss both. Anybody who's 9-9 in this conference is probably going to be a 5 seed. What is it now? 13 teams are projected in. 13 out of 16 projected in. South Carolina, LSU, and who's the other one that's not in? I don't know off the top of my head who it is. There's Oklahoma. I don't know who it is, so we'll see. All right, when we come back, let's talk some baseball. About that time. We're getting closer and closer to first pitch. We'll talk some baseball. We've talked a lot about it on the Thunder and Lightning podcast. Let's bring that discussion here. And I've got some news as far as some interviews that'll be on the podcast feed that I want you to check out. I'll tell you about those when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
I am absolutely and completely thunderstruck.
I don't know it. What is it?
Days of Future Past by Iron Maiden.
I should know it. Very good. Also a good X-Men movie. Thunder and Lightning. Sometimes. Sometimes we get into comic books. You never know. Here on Super Talk Mississippi, I'm Brian Haydad. He's Rhino. We're almost there. We're almost to that safe and secure landing that we're going to get to. We are brought to you by the good folks over at Visit Vicksburg, the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau, my hometown of Vicksburg, Mississippi. I brought it up last week. I'm going to bring it up again. 64th annual Lebanese dinner coming up at St. George's Orthodox Church. I cannot stress enough. This is the one. It's next Monday, February the 3rd, 11 a.m. to 2 for lunch, 4 to 6 for dinner, $20 a dinner. Folks, when I tell you that this one gets my highest endorsement, S tier, 5 out of 5 stars, whatever you want to hear from me, go see the ladies at the St. George Orthodox Church because they will hook you up. All right? The food is top tier. You cannot go wrong. Go eat there. I'm telling you, if you are in Vicksburg, if you are within a 45-minute drive of Vicksburg, go eat at St. George's Orthodox Church on February 3rd for the 64th annual Lebanese dinner. I'm just you got no one to blame but yourself if you miss out. And if you go, you will message this show and tell me that I was right. You will do it. I guarantee it. All right, let's move on. Let's move on to some baseball. We are 16 days away from first pitch. It's on Valentine's Day. Nothing says I love you like first pitch at Diddy Noble. I'll just go ahead and tell you. Tell your ladies, honey, I'm not taking you out to a fancy dinner. I'm taking you to a $60 million baseball stadium. We're going to sit out and I will say the weather might actually be okay. I don't know if we're going to get the Richard Cross 70 and sunny for opening day, but, I mean, it might. The way it's going right now. If you listened to earlier this week on Thunder and Lightning, we talked about the starting lineup, and me and Robbie went through what we thought that was going to be. Tomorrow's podcast, we'll do the same with the pitching staff. Depending on where you look, State's basically in the high teens, you know, the 18, 19 range in the polls. I think you can make a really strong case to put State higher, and I think at the same time you can make a really strong case to not rank State at all. They certainly have some big power potential in the lineup. Getting Hunter Hines back is a big deal. And also a really cool thing that I got an email about today, that Hunter Hines and Stone Simmons have partnered with Make-A-Wish here in the state of Mississippi. Every home run Hunter Hines hits, Simmons Erosion Control will donate $1,000 to Make-A-Wish. Really cool. You might remember that company. They did a deal a few years back with Will Rogers. I think they ended up donating like north of $40,000 because he threw so many touchdown passes. So really cool to see that and see those athletes giving back. So for me, though, with Hines, Noah Sullivan coming in, the transfer, big bat potential. Ross Highfill back in the lineup. He's got a lot of power potential. Ace Reeves, the transfer from Houston, power potential. State could be a team that's one of the top teams in home runs in the SEC this year. They should be, anyway. And if they're going to be successful, they need to be. So that's why if you want to rank State higher than 18th, you kind of start there. If you want to rank them lower, it's because you have questions about their pitching staff. They just don't have a proven guy at all. You know, right now, if you look at Friday, who's going to start? Probably Pico Khan, and I like Pico, and he's shown you some flashes here and there. But you're talking about a guy who has never started in an SEC game, to my knowledge. And if he has, it was obviously unmemorable. Saturday, maybe Carson Ligon. I mean, you just don't have a lot of proven guys on this pitching staff. You brought in a couple of transfers that you feel like could help you out in the bullpen, but even last year with Gerangelo coming back, at least he had started a number of SEC games. And you had Kyle Steven coming in who had started games in the Big Ten. You just don't have that experience there. The good news isn't the right word, but what I will say is that Justin Parker put a lot of collateral up with me last year. The turnaround Mississippi State had on the mound was incredible. They went from the worst team in the SEC by a large margin, could drive a fleet of 18-wheelers through the hole between 13th and 14th in 2023 in the pitching numbers. And he turned them into one of the better pitching staffs in the country almost overnight with basically the same guys. He brought in a guy from Purdue and Kyle Steven that nobody had any expectations for, and he ended up being a top 50 pick. That's something that I keep coming back to was this time a year ago, if you'd said, what do you think State's starting rotation was going to be? I would have thought Gerangelo was going to be in there, and maybe Kyle Steven had a role to play. But I couldn't have told you with any certainty the way I could have, like in 2021 when I knew it was going to be McLeod and Bednar, and I probably thought it was going to be Sarantola at the time. Ended up not being, but you see how it is. So I didn't know who those guys were going to be last year, and then you end up with two top 50 picks out of that rotation. So like I said, and also I think about how he turned around Tyson Harden and Tyler Davis. Those guys couldn't get anybody out 2 years ago. Last year they were quality relievers. Guys that when they came in the game, you felt good about their ability to close games out. The guy I'm most excited to see on that pitching rotation is Mekhi Grant. Now, I think he was going to be a big part of State's team last year. Tommy John, he's been out, you know, the 18 months they say it takes to feel pretty healthy. But it's always that first year back after Tommy John always feels like it's an adventure. So I don't know if he can play a big role. But from an arm talent standpoint, he might have the best velocity on the team. He's a guy who can get into the high 90s. And so if he can be like that, you get him. And I think I have some good expectations for Gavin Black. I thought towards the end of the season last year, he pitched well. Chase Hungate coming in from Virginia, very experienced pitcher as a reliever. But he's not the blow-em-away guy. He's not Landon Sims or anything like that. He's not throwing 95, 96 and getting guys out with strikeouts like that. He's more of a side-armer, you know, beat you with location kind of guy. State's got some pieces in the bullpen. The thing that I like the most about State is their schedule. And just simply put, as SEC schedules go, it's about as easy as it can get. You look at the non-conference, their hardest non-conference game to me, they play Troy and Southern Miss. Those are the two games that stand out. As talking about the games before the season starts, Southern Mississippi, play them February 18th in Hattiesburg. You play Troy February 25th in Starkville. They have a tournament that they're playing in Houston that's got Rice, Arizona, and Oklahoma State. You know, Rice used to be a powerhouse, not so much anymore. Arizona and Oklahoma State, decent teams. Oklahoma State will be pretty good. Southern Miss again on March 4th. That one's in Starkville. And then you start conference play. And then in conference play, when you look at the top, you know, 10, State misses a lot of those teams. They don't play Tennessee. They don't play Texas A&M. They don't play Vanderbilt. They don't play Arkansas. And they don't play Georgia, who I think was ranked 11th. They do have Florida, but that's at home. They get Ole Miss at home. They get Kentucky at home. They get Texas at home. The toughest series is at LSU, which is a place where State's had some success. And State's won the last two series against LSU. They've beaten them 2 years in a row. They've gotten 2 out of 3 off the Tigers. So State's schedule is set up to not have a whole lot of excuses if the Bulldogs aren't hosting. And that's got to be the goal. And Chris Lemonis talked about that when we met with him last week. He said the goal is to always be hosting. The goal is to go to Omaha, which means the easiest way to do that is to host your regional and host your super regional. I felt like State could have hosted last year. They had no one to blame but themselves because they lost too many games before the start of conference season. You're almost guaranteed you're not going to host if you start your first conference game and you've already got 6 losses. And that's what State had. And so even though they were really good in the SEC, those losses in February and March piled up on them, and that's why they didn't host. And it really was that simple. So they need to get off to a great start. This first series is against Manhattan, and no offense to the University of Manhattan or Manhattan University, whichever one it is, State needs to sweep that series. And I know it's difficult to sweep series, but you need to find a way to do it. The game in Hattiesburg will be very tough, but State's had some success against USM over the past few years, even when they struggled. So they need to find a way to get those wins. They need to beat Troy. That'll be a good win if you can beat them. Missouri State. I mean, at worst, you need to take 2 out of 3. You need to take 2 out of 3 at this tournament in Houston. You play Queens before you start SEC play. You need to sweep them. You need to go into conference play with 3 or less losses. And if you can do that, and then you win 16, 17 games in conference like you did a season ago, you are going to host. No questions asked. None whatsoever. We'll wrap it up when we come back. We're going to talk about an announcement today from Mississippi State. We didn't even talk about the master plan. We haven't talked about that, but we'll throw it in there when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder. Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Listen up! There is a storm coming!
One last go around here. Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Rhino's got the blinker on. He's about to turn us into the final turns here on the show. Another flawless effort from him. As soon as you hear me say goodnight, I'll be getting in the car and headed over to the Humphrey Coliseum. Big game for Mississippi State as they take on Alabama. Tip off at 8 o'clock. Not sure what network the game is on off the top of my head. I think it's ESPN, but I'm not. You're gonna have to let me. Give me a second. Don't rush me. Don't rush me. Tonight's game, Mississippi State.
ESPN.
Alabama. ESPN. Look at you, the man. No, it says SEC Network on the schedule. Sure.
The Google box says ESPN.
Well, Google's been known to lie. Mississippi State's TV and streaming says ESPN. I don't know. Well, it's on TV. We'll just put it that way. State announced earlier today, Super Bulldog weekend, and it's a big departure from years past. And I give Zach Selman some credit here, of which I've been giving him a lot lately. State sent out if you're a season ticket holder, a Bulldog Club member, a Bulldog Initiative member, whatever, you got a survey from State a few weeks ago asking your preference for Super Bulldog weekend. And it would have been really easy for State to say, well, the fans wanted this, but we want to keep it around the spring game, so we're doing it. They did not. And I think part of that was the fan vote. I think the fans voted that way because Super Bulldog weekend would have been Easter weekend. And I understand that families, you know, they don't want to have to make that decision of, like, am I going to State or do I go with – I get it. So State will do Super Bulldog weekend on May 1st through 4th. That's the Kentucky baseball series. It's the Ole Miss softball series, and it's also the Starkville Derby, which if you've not been to the Starkville Derby, you're kind of missing out. That's a fun, fun event, and I think it's going to be bigger and better than it's ever been this year. It's grown each year it's been in Starkville, and it's been a lot of fun. State will still do the spring game. It will be April the 19th, and that's the weekend that State plays Florida. It will also be the same day as the Cotton District Arts Festival, which if you live here in the Golden Triangle, you know what a big deal that is and how much fun it can be. This is the first time, to my knowledge, that Super Bulldog has not been the same weekend as the spring game. Now that's always been what they kind of built it around. Like, we're going to do the spring game, and then we have this big baseball series, and it kind of goes from there. And not this year. And, like I said, if that's what the fans voted for, I got the survey. I did not participate because, as a media member, like, I got to go. It doesn't matter when it is. Like, I got to be at those things. So I didn't want my vote to skew anything, and I don't really know which way I would have voted, to be honest with you. I probably would have voted for the spring game thing, just because that's just traditional to me. It's traditional! So, it's not, though. It's going to be May 1st through the 4th. Just off the top of my head, I can't remember a later Super Bulldog weekend than that either. And I guess because they never do a spring game in May. Huh. Yeah, I guess that'll be a new one. So, but again, I think it's just smart for Mississippi State. They put this out there for the fans. It would have been really easy to do two things. One, to lie. Could just be like, the fans have spoken, and it's going to be Super Bulldog weekend, April 18th through the 20th. Who would have questioned it? Who's going to send in a FOIA request? I want to see the votes. Nobody. It would have just been like, well, I guess it's how they voted. But it also would have been really easy to say the fans voted this way, but we really want to keep the spring game around this. They didn't. They listened to their fans. And if you listen to Sports Talk Mississippi earlier today, that's something that athletic departments have got to start doing a little bit more. They got to listen to you guys. You know, because you're paying the bills for literally everything. You're keeping the lights on. You're keeping the players on the team. So when I see an athletic director listening to his fans, I'm going to give credit. Because it's not as common, you know, when they say common sense isn't that common. Kind of the same thing here. We haven't had a chance, you know, they announced it last Friday, this master plan. And look, the thing I feel like the most, that we got to stress the most, it's a 10-year plan, right? Don't expect to come to Starkville this weekend and there's shovels in the ground getting ready to expand the stadiums. That's not going to be the case. There's a lot of fundraising to do. There's a lot of work to be done between now and then. But I like that Mississippi State's trying to show a clear vision. And I feel like this is a plan that can supersede a change in athletic director. If Zach Selman were to leave Mississippi State, I feel like Dr. Keenum would keep this plan in place and say, look, tell whoever's coming in, look, you're welcome to look it over. You're welcome to maybe throw a tweak in here or there. But this is where we're going. This is the plan we're going to use going forward. So we'll see. Making an effort to get Zach Selman on the podcast very soon. On the podcast Friday, I got two interviews I want you to check out. One is with Jacob Rudner. He's the new guy for Baseball America. He took over for Teddy Cahill, so he covers college baseball for them. I want to get his thoughts on this team. But more importantly, Mississippi State pitching coach Justin Parker will join me on Friday's podcast. So get his thoughts on this team. And a lot of the questions I had about that pitching staff, hey, maybe he can answer them for us on Friday. I'll be on Sports Talk Mississippi tomorrow. We'll be wrapping up what happened at the Hump tonight. I'm headed there now. Mississippi State versus Alabama. Huge game. If you're coming to the Hump, looking forward to seeing you there. For Rhino down there in Studio X, another flawless effort. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.